Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And for the next half hour, we are going to be inspired. We might cringe with some of the things that we're going to share. But more than anything else, I think you will find, by the time we finish chatting, about four very special ladies who have put together a publication. And I loved the title from the first time I heard it. This is not the life I ordered. 50 ways to keep your head above water when life keeps dragging you down. I want to welcome to the show Michaeline Rusley. And Michaeline, where are you located right now?
I'm in Woodside, California.
In Woodside, California. You four women are absolutely awesome.
Oh,
and I want to talk about you first. You launched the first ever branded maternity license for Adidas and championed the Sega Girls Task Force. You also have produced and directed an award-winning documentary called Flashcards. Then Jackie Speer was elected. She's another one of the contributors to the 8th Senate District in California in 1998 with more than 79% of the vote. Ran for Lieutenant Governor of California in 2006. She's very well educated. She's also a California gal. You had Deborah Collins Stevens, the co-founder and managing partner of the Center for Innovative Leadership. She's written 6 books herself, 3 of which have been bestsellers, including One Size Fits One. She's in Indiana. And then Jan Yanahiro, she is the host of Appraise It on HGTV, Women of Vision, and The New Americans on KCSM-TV. She reports on KCBS AM 740. She has her own weekly television program, Pacific Fusion. She's won 3 Emmys, and she's in California. How in the world did such women of diverse backgrounds ever get to know each other and become friends?
You know, it's so funny because the common denominator for all of us is Jackie, because we're all very different. And when people talk to us, they're like, God, you know, how exactly that question. But I think Jackie knew all of us and put us in the same room, and it was just quite magical.
You talk right at the very beginning, and this is what grabbed me immediately, was your preface. You said, we are simply 4 women whom destiny threw together more than a decade ago, and collectively we've experienced the extreme joys and deep sorrows that life offers up. We have a history of 6 marriages, 10 children, 4 stepchildren, 6 dogs, 2 miscarriages, 2 cats, 12 koi fish, a failed adoption, widowhood, and foster parenthood. We've built companies, lost companies, and sold companies. And one of us was shot and left for dead on a tarmac in South America, and 2 of us have lived through the deaths of spouses. Now, that was your very first paragraph, and you had me immediately.
Oh, that's good.
Absolutely, because I think if it happens with me, it's going to happen with anyone that would read this wonderful book. This is not the life I ordered. Tell us about why all 4 of you decided to bring together your experiences and put them in a book like this.
Well, you know what? We realized, you know, part of, you know, for us, as we got together once a month for almost 10 years. And what was so phenomenal for us is, I mean, it was really free therapy. But the great thing about this is, we created some ground rules. We said, look, this is not a pity party. You can't come and, you know, just sort of cry, oh, woe is me, and then sit there. Part of what we did for each other is say, okay, here's where you are. How can we help you to move out of that? How can we help you to move forward? And so it really became a powerful tool for each of us. And the support was unconditional. So not only did we sit, talk about our lives, but we really helped each other move into a new phase of our lives.
I think you have some wonderful suggestions in your book. You have the 7 steps for forming a kitchen table group. And there's a quote that you have with that: a friend walks in when the rest of the world walks out. And we'll go over those in just a moment. But I'd like to talk about Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jackie's experience was such a phenomenal one. Not that your others haven't been, but with hers, it was right at the front of the book, and it is so powerful and so dramatic, I don't think that many people would ever imagine, much less even knew, that she had gone through this, that are listening to the show today.
Yes.
Tell us what happened with Jackie.
So Jackie, at that time, was an aide to Congressman Leo Ryan. And his district was, of course, the San Mateo area. And at the time Jackie worked for him, he was getting a lot of calls and letters from people and basically saying, you know, either my child is caught in down in Jonestown, or I can't get my wife back. There were a lot of letters. And so the whole idea was he was going to take a contingency down to Jonestown and really investigate what was going on there, what was happening there. And so what had happened is, I'm not sure if many of your listeners know about the situation with Jonestown, but I'll give you some of it, and then you can ask me questions about if you want further details. But they went down to Jonestown. They brought a group of reporters and a number of people and basically wanted to see if people were being kept there against their will. And the first night, it was a great experience. In fact, I remember this footage very clearly. Congressman Ryan gets in front of the group and talks about what an incredible group it was. They performed for him. Everyone was happy, and they said, my God, this is an amazing place. And, you know, from the outside, it looked incredible. They had, you know, built buildings and created spaces for everyone. They had built a huge garden of food, so it was all self-contained. And what happened is that night is one of the reporters had gone out. Don Harris was a TV reporter who'd went out to have a cigarette. And as he was outside in Jonestown, people started passing little notes in his hand. And they said, please help us. Please help us get out of here. And so once that was revealed, it got incredibly tense in Jonestown, and they had to find a way. They slept there the night and had to find a way to start interviewing the people in Jonestown to see if people were being held there against their will. And throughout this process, I don't know if you've seen the footage too, but Jackie and Congressman Leo Ryan were interviewing people saying, please, you need to, you know, are you being held here against your will? And the story really started to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically, they were trying to get a second plane to get the people out of Jonestown, and Congressman Ryan and a group of people were going out to the planes. They had gotten a second plane. The tarmac was, you know, literally there. The engines were running, and they loaded them in the back of a truck. They went out to the field, and everyone started unloading, and as they started to figure out what plane for people to board, a group of the henchmen came and shot them all down. Congressman Ryan was shot, I think, 47 times.
And she was shot 5 times and left for dead.
What happened is Jackie had curled up under one of the wheels of the plane, and she curled up and pretended she was dead, and one of the henchmen came up and actually shot her at point-blank range closely. So as she was getting shot, she had to continue to pretend she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened is that group that was, there were certainly a number of people who were dead. A group of those people who survived lay on the tarmac for 22 hours until help came. And
incredible.
At that time when help came, I believe the only thing they had for Jackie at that time was a couple of aspirin.
Mm-hmm. That's all. And her story of survival in this is just phenomenal. She ended up having to have surgery. She was scarred for the rest of her life. I mean, the mental situation she went through, everything. You would expect that this is someone that would have retreated and not wanted to have anything to do with life, but that's not her nature. That's not who she is.
Absolutely not who she is.
And so here she is. You say she is the core of what brought all four of you together as a group of allies, if you will. And then we have Jan. And Jan went through a situation, and it was relative to her husband. Tell us about that.
Yes. her husband at the time was in his mid-40s. He was diagnosed, you know, at the prime of his career, having a family. Him and Jan were very happy, and he was diagnosed with glioblastoma. It was brain cancer. It was very fast-moving and aggressive, and he died within 6 months of the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So here was Jan with young kids. Her husband dies, and not only did she have to deal with, you know, these young children losing their father, but after his death, he had an outstanding credit at the bank for $500,000. And at the same time, she also had a life insurance policy, which basically matched the credit situation. And then a number of lawsuits came after her. So not only was she having to deal with, oh, my God, you know, here's our financial situation, but there are lawsuits coming at her. And at the same time, she lost her job. So it was quite a dramatic time for her. She loses her husband. She, you know, is out of work, and she has children that she has to raise on her own. And part of why Jackie and Jan met is because they lost their husbands within a year of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, you know, they use, and part of what's so critical about what we talk about in the book is humor. Even in the darkest moments, you have to find a way to laugh. And they talk about how when Jan and Jackie got on the phone one day and they helped each other with their funerals and picking out the caskets, and Jackie had said to Jan, "Jan, whatever you do, charge the funeral cost on your credit card." And Jan said, "Well, why?" She says, "Because you get miles." And, you know, some people might be horrified by that, but I think it's how we survive.
Mm-hmm.
How can you laugh in the darkest moment? And they became lifelong friends from those experiences.
Now, we also have Deborah Stevens. I loved her grandmother. Her grandmother with the brilliantly blue hair.
The blue-haired lady.
Blue-haired lady. Tell us Deborah's story.
Deborah is a very successful author. Has written 6 books, and really quite does a lot of work with companies around the country on leadership. She is happily married, has 2 young children. She's about to release one of her books. Literally the day she is about her book is published, her husband goes into intensive care, and he's diagnosed with a rare disease that is terminal. And we talk about this as well in the book, as, you know, a moment when you should be celebrating, there's always something that seems to come in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And she has, through the process, lived with her husband having a life-threatening illness. He survived 5 years longer than the expectation. And in the last year, they moved to Indiana to be close to his family. So it has been a tough journey for her.
Now, here you are, Michaeline.
Yes.
Your story.
Well, I think my story comes back to when I was a child. I came from, you know, an Italian Catholic family. Grew up in a private, you know, private school as a cheerleader. You know, even dated the captain of the football team. And from the outside, my life looked, you know, pretty incredible. From the inside, my mother came over from Italy as a child. My father was first generation. They brought over with them a lot of old school ideas and, you know, a lot of pride. So there were many issues in our family that we didn't talk about. And the issue we had to deal with in our family was sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So I was abused as a child by a number of family members and a cousin. And it took me many, many years to recover from that. And so part of my recovery when I was, you know, it took a great deal of help with, you know, a licensed therapist. And what I really wanted to make sure of is that my life didn't become about what happened to me. And so as part of when I really felt like I was through the process, I did my first film called Flashcards, which was really my way of loosely telling my story.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to speak around the country about child sexual abuse. We did the first national curriculum on child sexual abuse and then started talking about how you can move past it.
Well, all 4 of you women, each of you, have had your own story to tell. You're very good friends.
But you've put more into this book, and again, I love the title. This is not the life I ordered. And one of the things, which I want to get to the kitchen group in a little bit, but I like how you talk about the theory of oops.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much, I think, that women are having to become re-educated about. And I say re-educated because usually we're indoctrinated with a certain level of social, this is how you do things, this is what you say, this is what you do. If you're a lady, you do this, you do that, you do the other. To re-educate yourself means that you keep what you value, and then you look at your life from a whole different perspective where you're empowering yourself as an individual. And I just think this book does an awesome job. Tell us about the Female Oops Center.
Well, you know what? What's so amazing about that, and I just want to say a couple things in terms of part of what was so powerful about this group is that we talk about people in your life that you bring around you that actually hurt you relearning how to live. You know, we talk about the naysayers and, you know, the energy vampires, people who, when you say, oh, I want to do this, will always say, no, you can't do that. What are you thinking? And so we have learned to embrace our mistakes, and we talk about, in fact, we have, I don't know if you saw the cartoons in the book, but that's part of the humor we have, and we have a little section on misguided mugs.
Yes, I mean, it's, the cartoons in here, all of the quotes, the jokes, it's absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. John Grimes was our illustrator, and he's an incredible, incredible cartoonist and really political thinker, because he just, he knew how to portray things in the way that we were talking about.
Yes, but, he did.
But those misguided mugs, in fact, we've always thought about creating a series of mugs, and we say common mistakes women make, avoid collecting the whole set. And we laugh about it because, unfortunately, all of us have not only collected the whole set, but we keep repeating and collecting again. But it's you really have to embrace your mistakes and figure out how to learn from them. You know, when you talk about, you know, we sit down and talk, and we talk about the mistakes we made, and we laugh. And then if we start going in the same direction, you know, Jackie or Jan or Deborah will say, you know what, you've made this mistake before. You know, what did you learn from it, and how can you move past it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think one of the key issues for women is that we always think that everyone's going to take care of us. We always believe that if we work hard, that we'll be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so not true.
I think that is, again, a social. It goes back to Victorian times. I mean, it's just amazing how I talk to young women today. Well, I'll get married and I'll have everything just wonderful and this is what we're supposed to do. It's the Cinderella story, and it isn't that way at all. In fact, I love your statement where you before say, we believe that many women have been brainwashed into thinking we can have it all, do it all, and remain sane and serene in the process. We're here to tell you one simple truth. You cannot. We should know. We've all tried it and failed miserably in the process.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And why is it that we feel badly? You know, I was talking with a friend this morning, and she is trying to be a super person, and yet she's depressed.
Right.
She's depressed because she's not giving to herself. She is not prioritizing and putting herself number one at all.
And you know, when you think about it, if you were driving your car from here to, say, Sacramento, when you're on the way and you're running out of gas, you don't let yourself run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
Go back, fill the tank, make sure the car is running smoothly, and you go. We don't do that with ourselves. So if you don't nurture yourself and find time to replenish, you're not any good to anybody. And that's probably one of the core issues that we talk about in this book. You need to take care of yourself. And not only from a need, you deserve it. You know, I think you're right, the brainwashing is on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to do good in the world, you should be able to do good without getting compensated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who made that rule up? And, you know, it's okay to be compensated for doing good things. You know, it's okay to say, wait a minute, I know that I've been working really hard and you gave me a new responsibility. I would like this raise. It's okay to say to your husband or your spouse, wait a minute, I can't do this. You need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's staggering to me. I think you're right. It goes back to, you know, years and years ago.
And it's all over the world. It's not just U.S. stuff here. I've seen it in every culture in the world.
Yes, I agree with you.
And the women that say, sorry, this isn't acceptable to me, they're labeled, they're considered rebellious, they're called obscene names, they are made into outcasts, and all of a sudden one day some people find out the woman was pretty smart, and they go, how can I be more like you?
Right.
And go,
right.
I don't understand. You're happy. I love the comment you had by Joan Rivers in here. I hate housework. You make the bed, you do the dishes, and then 6 months later you have to start all over again.
Yes.
I thought she had to have been influenced by Phyllis Diller. That's all I could say.
Exactly, yes. I remember Phyllis Diller saying something like that, too.
Oh, yes. House cleaning to her was getting out the bulldozer and pushing it all out the front door.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I know we can't go off on this, but look at how Senator Clinton is being portrayed in the press. I mean, it is okay for a man to be strong. When a woman is strong, she's, you know, it rhymes with witch. You know, when
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, when you say no, you're selfish. And, you know, frankly, I think we teach men from an early age how to be selfish.
Yes.
And one of the key issues all of us have talked about, and particularly I have three boys, how do I teach my boys differently? How do I teach them that mothers do not have to be selfless?
Mm-hmm.
It's a, you know, I think that's another book all in itself.
It is. And it doesn't, what there's a real issue with it, when you are going to teach women to do this, then there's this attitude, well, then men are going to become emasculated. And I think that's the stupidest thing I have ever heard.
I agree.
And I just, it's absolutely asinine. I liked what you said in your book. Instead of trying to fix our female selves to fit the male standard, perhaps we need to continue to change the world of work to allow, accept, and even seek the different ways we women communicate and lead.
Right.
And what I find so amazing is I talk to so many women who are working for women in the corporate world, and their bosses too frequently are emulating the male procedure.
Yes.
And then they wonder why they're not able to communicate effectively. The senior executives, they wonder why they're having a problem with the attitudes of the people in their groups below them, why they have the turnover, why they're not getting things done. They're trying to mimic what really doesn't fit them.
I agree. And, you know, we know that in many ways that doesn't work.
Oh, yes.
But I think, you know, so many women have come up through the ranks of the corporate environment. I spent years in that corporate environment. And you know what? It doesn't work. And one of the reasons I left is because we never asked ourselves the fundamental question when we're dealing with consumer products or business, should we be doing what we're doing? We never asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
It was only about financial. Is this going to make money?
Oh, yes, and that's the very first thing that just about every male in the corporate world, when they're talking with anyone, will say, is it going to make money? If it's not going to make money, I'm not interested.
Exactly, and you know how I learned a really great lesson when I was at Sega, because when I started the Sega Girls Task Force, at that point in time, there were no video games for girls. And when I started to talk about, my God, you know, this is a huge cultural issue. You're actually forcing part of the population to not be included in the process. And that didn't work. And when I said, okay, let's take this, let's just take 5% of this market and say, okay, if we get 5% of U.S. demographic of girls to play video games, here's the kind of money we can make.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, oh, my God, we've got to do games for girls.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It really is amazing. You bring up a story about Denise Garibaldi, and I think this is so significant. This was a mother who decided she was going to speak up about steroids because her son went into deep depression. He was taking steroids. He was a teenager, committed suicide. And she was saying, we've got to change the worship of those that are taking steroids. We have to change and understand that this is something that's detrimental to the adults that do it,
as well as to the young people that do it. And I loved what she said. It's also her time to tell the national heroes, the ones our children look up to, the players who take steroids and other performance-enhancing drugs, are not only cheaters, but cowards. And I wrote amen in the book. Because
oh, that's great.
This is a woman that took a stand, and I so believe in the power of one. I think one individual can make such a difference. You four women have come together, put together this fabulous book, and the information in it is so inspiring to anyone. If a man would read it, I think he'd just go, wow, this is really good stuff.
But we've actually had a lot of men read this.
Yes, because it is time long overdue to understand that men and women can have goals and objectives. We just think differently, and that doesn't mean it's bad.
Right.
And we can work together as teams. And it's not Victorian England, where women are slaves and where we're not supposed to think and we're not literate. Today's woman is literate. She is going to college. She's holding positions. She can be responsible. We have the lazy duffs, too. I mean, we're human beings.
Right.
And it's about time we wake up and look at what our opportunities can be. And I think your book, This Is Not the Life I Ordered, does a very good job of addressing that on multiple levels. It's wonderful. What is your website? I want to be sure that we give that information out.
Okay. Our website is www.thisisnotthelifeiordered.com.
So it's the same title as the book.
Yes. And you know, one of the things, Donna, and I, one of the things that's been so powerful for us is we decided to write this book because we realized when we started speaking at events how much it inspired other women, and they realized that they were not alone. And that's, you know, for us, that's part of this. You know, when you read this, you know, one of these women's stories, there's over 35 women's stories in it from all over the world. One of these stories will touch you, and you will know and feel that you're not alone.
Not only that, but you give 7 steps for forming a kitchen table group in here. And I just think what you have just said is very important. If you can have someone, if you start off with just 2, then just you and another, and you can add to that, that is so significant because you don't need to feel like you do not have a chance. And it's okay if you go through tough times, you're going to get through them. But when you have the support of friends, and it can be an open communication like you four ladies have had, that is worth its weight in platinum and then some.
Well, you know, there's a group called houseparty.com that put up those 7 steps to creating your own kitchen table group.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they create house parties all over the country on the same day. And they had over 6,000 people respond and ask if they could do a house party on her book.
Wonderful.
So we just, we have to find a sponsor yet, but I think, you know what? I know that it touches a chord for women. We all know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful that you really liked it.
Well, I think the book is well written. The stories are poignant. The lessons and insights are valuable. And it empowers any individual. And it's great reading. I'd say get up in the morning, have a cup of tea or coffee with whatever, and take time to read, if nothing else, a page a day. Those of you that are listening, if you guys want to give your gals something special as a gift, This Is Not the Life I Ordered is very empowering. I think every teenage girl should have one.
Oh.
I want to thank you so much, Michaeline, Leslie, for being my guest today. And I appreciate your friends, Jackie, Deborah, and Jan. And I wish you the best. And, hey, when you're ready to write that other book, let me know.
Thank you so much.
This is Donna Sebo, and I want to give out the website again. This is not the life I ordered.com. Go on in, look at it, investigate it. It is one of the best investments you'll ever make with your dollars for reading material that will inspire, guide, and also make you aware more than anything else. You don't have to be alone. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back. Don't you go away.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
This is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open, 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And when you call in, just know, if you're a first-time listener, welcome to the show. I'm delighted that you've joined us. But also know that all you need to do is give me your first name or your initial. And, of course, I'm always interested in knowing where you're calling from. After that, I'll do my thing. I'll give you what I see in my mind about you, whatever may be going on in your life, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you desire. So again, the open phone lines, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756. I want to speak to those of you in the state of Washington. My class, Mental Ecology, is coming up April the 19th. I don't often get an opportunity to teach classes, and so this one I'm really excited about. This is about beauty, style, and greatness from the inside out. Yes, because if it doesn't start on the inside, it's not going to demonstrate itself too well on the outside. We're going to help you to jumpstart your personal vision, your intuitive skills, your problem-solving talents, and then we're going to work on clarity for your perspectives, your objectives, and the life purpose that you see at this moment. Now, this is going to be held, again, April 19th, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Center for Spiritual Living. This is a 100-year-old building, and it's located at 206 North J Street in downtown Tacoma. It's going to cost $89, and we are going to be serving lunch, so that is included in that cost. And if you'd like to call and make reservations, this is the telephone number, 253-383-3151. Now, a portion of the seminar fee is going to be going towards the restoration of this historic building at the Center for Spiritual Living. So it's a great way. You're finished with taxes. This is a great way to jumpstart 2008 and really look at what you can do, how you can do it, and feeling good about yourself entirely. So let's make it a date. I'd love to see you there. If you have any additional questions and you want to call me at my office, 800-872-8852. Well, we are going to be talking tomorrow with Spirit Connection. Do you believe in ghosts? I certainly do. I've had a few experiences of my own. Well, we're going to talk with a young lady whose dad is the famous Hans Holzer. Alexandra is Hans's daughter. Now, Hans is not able to come on the air with us because he's in his 80s and he has a hearing problem, so doing radio shows is always a challenge for him. But Alexandra is going to be filling us in with all kinds of good information about what it was like growing up in Hans Holzer's household and growing up haunted. That's the name of her book. And then her dad just came out with a book, Spirit Connection, and he's giving an instruction book. He is a pioneer of what we often call ghost busting or ghost hunting. So that is going to be a fascinating interview, and that'll be tomorrow. Now, also next week, we're going to be talking with Mike Barretti on Monday, Kayaking Alone. Ever wanted to do something adventurous? Well, Mike's done it, and this is fascinating. He went 900 miles kayaking. Wonderful, wonderful story. Then we're going to be talking with a father who's very concerned with a condition that exists with teens. We touched on it in our interview a little bit, and that is depression. And Gary Nelson is going to be my guest. His book is A Relentless Hope Surviving Storm of Teen Depression. We're going to be talking about that subject. It's not a subject that a lot of people want to discuss. They don't want to believe that it's there, but it is. Close to the Bone on Wednesday of next week, Jean Shinoda Bolin. She's a repeat guest on my show. She's a delightful lady and very much a philosopher, and she'll be sharing some wonderful ideas with us. Awakening Afterlife, Renee Jorgensen. This is two experiences that he is going to, that he'll be sharing with us. And then Dr. Bernie Dahl, Optimize Your Life. This is a man, as a physician, that feels that not only what you do is important, but also how you think and your belief system, and what can you do to make it work for you in the way that you want. So we've got a great lineup of guests, and I invite you to tell your friends and to be sure and come by for a visit. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat with me today. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Well, I have to tell you, here in the Pacific Northwest, the gardens in our neighborhood are absolutely coming alive with color. And something that I was having a discussion about with someone not too long ago is that we really need to pay attention to our gardens and be aware that we want to have things that are going to be attracting bees, honeybees, because there's quite a situation with bees right now in this country. They're dying, and we don't know why. So anything you can do to create an environment that will attract various critters, birds, one, you're going to be entertained, and two, it is just going to make such a beautiful, beautiful array of color. Hummingbirds love red. You know, you have the little hummingbird feeders, but there are certain flowers that they like. So spring migration has started, and by golly, you've got hawks, you've got chickadees, you're going to have all kinds of wild critters that are going to be on their way, going from one place to another. So if you really want to make your yard bird-friendly, and this is great for the kids to do, here are some wonderful suggestions. What you want to do is you want to be sure you tempt birds with apples and oranges. A lot of the migratory birds, such as orioles and sapsuckers, need lots of high-energy carbohydrates that are found in fruits. And if you have something shallow that will hold water, like a bird bath, no more than 3 inches deep, and you can do all kinds of innovative ways of creating the bird bath. You just have to make sure that you keep refreshing the water that's in there. They will just absolutely love it. And if you want them to stay a while, you can take mesh bags with pieces of yarn, straw, pet fur sometimes, bits of cloth, anything that a bird can use to make a nest, and hang the bag near trees. And what they'll do, they'll go after that bag trying to pull things out. We have crows in our backyard. I watch them. It's so much fun just to watch them. They're looking for nesting material. They'll pick up twigs. They'll do all kinds of things to be able to take it back for their nest building. And it's a lot of fun. Again, kids can participate in putting things together so that it's outside. We get pileated woodpeckers. Actually, we have, I think, 4 to 5 different species of woodpeckers that, when they're on their migratory routes, they come into our yards. We have lots and lots of trees where we are. And it's just wonderful to watch them. Little pygmy nuthatches that will be climbing up the trees, and they're all looking for food. They don't have 7-Elevens that they can go to and get their snacks. So whenever you can do something like that, and if you plan your garden correctly, and if you have any questions, go to your local nursery. Talk to them. Find out what attracts what type of bird. There's also a website that you can go to. It's called nnature or enature.com. /birding. You can get your regional maps there and learn what species of bird like to come into wherever it is that you're living. So So go to enature.com/birding, and I think you will just, it'll just be so much fun. We always enjoy it. We're amazed. Of course, we have a lot of possums and raccoons out where we are, and we have all kinds of interesting critters. We even had a cougar in our next-door neighbor's yard that popped up one night, and it just absolutely astonished us. It was a real warm summer evening, and it was, there was no noise. It was absolutely gorgeous out. In fact, I think it was the hottest night of the year, and last year. And that cougar was there as big as life, and I learned something I didn't know about cougars, and that they follow the deer. And we have a lot of deer in our area, and they usually will cover 100 miles of territory. When I talked to the people in the wildlife department, they said, you'll be lucky if you ever have that good fortune again. And the cat stayed in our area. It was just an amazing, amazing experience. So that's what their food is, not dogs and cats. And then we also have those friendly critters, the coyotes, the ones that are so smart. Well, I don't know about you, but I got hit with a spring cleaning bug. Up here in the Pacific Northwest, when the weather starts getting warmer and the sun comes out, you all of a sudden look at your spider webs that you have maybe in the corners that you couldn't see before, because we're known for gray skies here in Seattle. So usually the shadows hide a lot of stuff. And then the sun comes out and you go, uh-oh, I had better get busy, especially with windows. Well, if you really want to get into that spring cleaning, you know, and you're going to feel so much better when you do it, because you have pet dander, pollen, dust mites. There's all kinds of stuff that accumulates during winter months because everything's closed up so tightly. So what you want to do, one, with the spring cleaning, you want to be sure to check your smoke and carbon monoxide detectors. And don't forget to replace the batteries if you have them where they are battery operated. Also, drapes and upholstery. Going over with some vacuuming can really clean out a lot of those little critters like dust mites that accumulate during the winter. Also, it's a very good time before it gets hot to change filters and air conditioning units if you happen to have them in your home so that you're all prepared for summer. And I don't know about you, but do you notice how in the kitchen when you're around the stove and maybe you've got a vent area, you look up and all of a sudden everything's looking really, oh, what do I want to say, crummy, greasy, because of stuff that's splattered during the winter months? Well, just get busy like I did, and you're going to want to scour that all. But the windows, oh, my goodness, they're the worst. They just, oh, just, it's just amazing. You're amazed you can even see through them because there's so much stuff with storms and all kinds of weather fronts that you endure wherever it is that you're living. So spring cleaning is something that is a must, and if you've got help, congratulations. That is really good. But one of the things with spring cleaning that you should look at is your medicine cabinet. Anything that is old, drugs, vitamins, you know, anything of that nature, all kinds of liquids, cough syrups, whatever you've got, check the dates on them, because if they're old, most of the time they lose their potency. So you want to toss them. Now, one of the things you need to be aware of is that flushing this stuff down the commode could send them into the public water supply. Instead, it's better to call your recycle group and ask them what you should do with prescriptions. And I know there was a ruling made in the state of Virginia years ago not to flush them down the toilet. And here in Washington, there is a lot of comment about that because they're finding that drinking water is containing a lot of stuff that comes from what people are throwing away down the commode. So be aware and just be savvy. Think, before you dump anything down the toilet, check with your recycle center and see where you should take them. They may have a special place for you to go. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. Hey, if you'd like to chat with me today, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be right back, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight if you so desire. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast, with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Have you ever felt like your life was sort of in the toilet? Well, there was a gal by the name of Lisa Shohanek, and her self-esteem was low. She didn't like her life. She was about 43 years old. Now, she was a professional. This is a woman that had been successful at what she'd done. She'd been in PR. But you know what? She was not liking herself. And she said, what really affected her life was the 9/11 event, which affected millions of people around the country and even the world. So she went into this slump. She found she was turning to food to be comfortable. She gained a lot of weight. She was in debt. And then she didn't have the job she wanted. She got another job. And her boss that she had at her new job just was snapping at her all the time, but she couldn't afford to quit. Now, the longer she stayed in the job, the lower her self-esteem became. Well, one of the things that happened is that she had a friend. Remember in the earlier part of the show we were talking about friendships? When you have a good friend, they're going to be supportive of you. They want you to do the best with your life, and that's what her friend said. So her friend said, come along with me and let's go to this special event. It's a spa day. And while she did this for herself, she happened to meet someone called Laura King. And when she was talking to her about her life, she said, gee, what am I going to do? She just opened up to Laura. And Laura said, well, why don't you have some hypnosis done? And Lisa said, what do you mean hypnosis? I don't know anything about this. I don't even know that I believe in it. So Laura explained it all to her. And she decided she was going to book a session with Laura. And so they went through this special hypnotic procedure. And Lisa gained so much out of this interaction with Laura that when her boss the next time the boss just blew his top, she started going through this visual that she had been taught to do while she was under hypnosis. And she started changing her mind, changing her attitude about her life. And the interesting thing is that the boss that had been screaming at her so much promoted her. She had done a real good job, and she found that she actually was able to totally be in an environment that was away from the boss that was just so negative. She lost weight. She started a business of her own. She said, I'm now one of those annoying people who's happy all the time. And Lisa said, don't wait. Your new life can start now. Just point yourself in the right direction and you'll get there. I did. The key with Lisa is that she was open to an option, to being able to make her life better. Now, here are some tips if you really would like to program yourself for success. And success is a very individual perspective. When I think of what Michaeline said when we were talking, she said it's not always about money. It's not always about the material things. Now, I'm not saying material things aren't good, But success is defined by each of us in its own way. What is it that makes you so glad to get up in the morning and just thrilled to be able to be involved in whatever it is that you're doing? One of the ways to program yourself for success is to remember good times. Recall a point in your life when you felt strong, vibrant, and happy. Also, when you're recalling it, you want to hear it, you want to smell it, you want to see it. You want to relive as many of those details as you possibly can. And then you want to hold that image in your mind, because when you do, your subconscious will actually build confidence each time you practice the exercise. You know, our subconscious is at work all the time. And it's so easy. I was talking with someone earlier today, and we were discussing certain things they'd gone through, and I said, your subconscious is sabotaging you, because there are certain things that you keep doing over and over and over again. And it takes conscious attention to saying, no, I'm not going to go that route anymore. Remember what Micheline said? She said that whenever one of the things that happened when she and her three friends would get together, if any one of them were on a treadmill of sameness where they were not accomplishing anything, the others would say, hey, wait a minute, you've already done this routine. You don't need to be on that treadmill anymore. You can get off. You don't have to be stuck on the treadmill of sameness and repeat over and over again. So that's very important. Also, just know that there are times that you're going to have those darker moments. And when those moments occur, and I can speak from my own life experience, usually they are the very thing that gets you up and moving and off of your duff. I would never have become involved in the psychic arena. I didn't have a clue about it. But I went through some very devastating situations. I had to open up to being aware that there were different options in life. We all have our programs that we are indoctrinated with, no matter who we are, what culture we come from, what society we're in, there's always going to be that we need to remember we don't necessarily have to hold on to. When you come to find yourself as an individual, you'll find that that's one of the most difficult jobs you ever go for. Individuality is a do-it-yourself job. And to be a true individual, you have to really like yourself. And that's what Lisa found. Lisa found that she was that hardworking individual. She was a person that could have joy in her life. She was a person that could love and like herself. And that's not being narcissistic. And when she reached that point, the sky was the limit. Lisa did a great job, and her life is more of the way she wants it to be. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You may never be able to control all circumstances. That's not going to happen. There's always going to be the burps and the upsets and the roller coaster experiences. The key is, the one thing that belongs to you is your mind, your heart, your emotional response, and your capacity to think and to reason. And that is yours. It belongs to you. But it's only you that can make the choices that will make your life the way you want it to be. And you know, you may surprise yourself. You may end up sailing around the world in a kayak. Who knows? There's a lot of opportunity out there. Don't limit it. This is Donna Sebo. Be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.